Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue pursuing the subject of Paul's successful missionary work and the various elements that contributed to that success. And we see that the power of the Holy Spirit was the first on Paul's list. As he put it this way in Romans 15:19, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. The power of the Spirit of God. And that led us to inquire, how can we detect when the Holy Spirit is at work, when the power of the Spirit of God has affected lives? And you would think that would be a fairly simple question, but actually, because of the climate of confusion in the day in which we live, that question is not so easy. And so I have turned to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which I believe gives us the answers. And so we read, for example, in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So Paul says that the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the Thessalonians was evident by, number one, they stopped doing whatever they were doing, stopped making other things the center of their lives, and started following the Apostle Paul, which led to step number two, namely, that they became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, the human instrument, was only a temporary magnet. He was a magnet used by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit caused people to be attracted to Paul. Now, Paul makes it very clear in his epistles that he did not consider himself to be an attractive person from a normal human standpoint. He wasn't particularly physically attractive. He was not particularly charismatic as a speaker. So when people found this attraction to the Apostle Paul, that is evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work. You can't explain it any other way. And by the way, that's one reason why Paul says we are not to depend upon human abilities and human personalities, human wisdom, human talents in order to promote the gospel. Now, obviously, if God gives those talents to people and calls and equips them into his work, that's fine. But, and he can use them all for his glory, and some of the preachers in these early days had some of those gifts. We think that Apollos was a particularly eloquent speaker. Paul did not consider himself to be eloquent, but apparently Apollos was. So God did raise up an eloquent public speaker in Apollos. But there's always this danger of thinking that success depends upon human personality, human abilities. One way where that philosophy, I think, is expressed is in the desire to get newly converted famous personalities quickly paraded before audiences on television and wherever to give their testimony, because this is supposed to persuade people to follow them. And so we've had a parade of them over the years. I'm thinking of one right now. I don't know if I want to mention it on the radio or not, but I can still remember several years ago when my wife reported to me that a friend of hers had excitedly reported to her that a particular well-known movie star had become a Christian. And she was all excited about this. Oh, boy, can you believe this? Isn't this wonderful? So-and-so has become a Christian. Well, I must confess that because of past experience, I was a bit skeptical. I did not share her enthusiasm. My response was, we'll wait and see. But you see, a lot of Christians weren't willing to wait and see. They latched onto that right away. They paraded her before audiences to give her testimony. And the sad fact is that with the passing of time, there is little or no evidence that she ever became a Christian. There doesn't seem to be any change in her life, change in her morality, doesn't seem to be any change in her left-leaning politics, and there doesn't seem to be any change at all. I don't know what salvation did for this person, because there, after it's now been 10 or 12 years, there doesn't seem to have been any noticeable change at all. You've got to be careful about that. Famous sports figures are often paraded before audiences. They're a Christian. Everybody will listen to them because they're a big sports star. Well, you see, we're depending upon the strength of the flesh instead of upon the power of the Holy Spirit. People aren't saved because of the power of men, the personality of men, the persuasion of men, the attractiveness of men. People are saved because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the gospel and makes it effective in hearts. And he doesn't make it effective because the gospel came from a particularly attractive person, necessarily. He makes it effective, oftentimes, in spite of the unattractiveness of the messenger, so that the glory goes to God and not to man. Don't you understand? And so 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Spirit. Here are people who are evidencing persevering faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of affliction, persecution, and were doing so with joy. Now that just isn't natural. You're right. It's supernatural. These are the marks of the Holy Spirit at work. That isn't natural. We're not looking for something natural. We're looking for something miraculous. We're not looking for something that man can produce. We're looking for something that only God can produce. Verse 7, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. How did Paul know that the Holy Spirit was powerfully at work on the lives of the Thessalonian Christians? Because their lives became so changed, so exemplary, that they became models for other Christians to follow. In our day, we're not even supposed to examine people's lives. Just accept their profession at face value, and don't you dare examine their lives to see if they're living like a Christian, is the attitude that a lot of people have. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not a biblical perspective at all. And Paul said, I know that God is at work in your lives because of the significant change. The changes in your life. You don't live the way you used to. You don't think the way you used to. You don't talk the way you used to. Something profound has changed. Verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Their enthusiastic and energetic witness for the Lord, their energetic participation in the proclamation of the gospel, told Paul that the Holy Spirit was at work in their lives. Again, that's not natural. You show me somebody who doesn't have any interest in the gospel, getting it out, proclaiming it, witnessing it, getting it to the ends of the earth, and I'll show you someone who doesn't have very much power, spiritual power in their lives, doesn't have very much change in their lives, doesn't have a very good claim on a profession of faith in Christ. Verse 9, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There it is again. The change in their lives. They turned from idols to serve God. They quit living the way they were living, and they started living a different way. They quit living for the things that they were living for, and they started living for Christ. Their whole lives were changed as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. And verse 10, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. They were looking for the second coming of Christ with eagerness. Those who look for the second coming of Christ purify themselves. They live holy lives. They're waiting for Christ to come. They're longing for Christ to come. They're expecting Christ to come. They don't want to be found unfaithful when Christ returns. But today, many people who call themselves Christians live in worldly and sinful squalor without seemingly any thought of the day when Christ will return and find them like that, or the day when they might be caught suddenly out of this world and have to stand before the Lord with all of that on their record. It makes you wonder if people like that have ever really been saved at all. Now the question is, as we go back to Romans chapter 15, how can you know when the Holy Spirit is at work? Well, because lives change. Because there's a new attraction to Christ, a new attraction to the church, a new attraction to the people of God, a new attraction to the preacher of God's word, a new attraction to the things of God. That all develops by the work of the Holy Spirit in the life. And where that is present, then you can know that the Holy Spirit has changed a life. Those things aren't natural. They're supernatural. Now, this idea that we have to preach the gospel and then immediately enlist a response, a physical response, a decision of some kind, and if we don't do it, if we don't do that, then people won't be saved. If we don't do that, people might slip away unconverted, who otherwise would be converted. If we don't do that, people might be converted, but we won't know how to count them. Heaven forbid that we shouldn't count them. Or we won't know how to help them. Is so much nonsense. Because you see, these people that Paul is talking about in Thessalonica, when the Holy Spirit saved them, they followed Paul. They didn't disappear. So what if a person is dealt with by the Holy Spirit and puts his faith and trust in Christ and goes out of that church service without having publicly registered a decision, without the preacher or anybody else knowing what happened? What's going to happen next? The same Holy Spirit who worked in their heart and saved them, if in fact they have been regenerated, is going to bring them back. You don't have much confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit, do you? You don't have much confidence in the power of a changed life, do you? You don't really think that God is powerful enough to keep the ones that he saves. You think that you've got to keep them, that it's all up to you. That doesn't honor the Lord. It's all up to God. When God saves people, they start hanging around. At some point, they'll no doubt say to you, I think the Lord saved me. I want to talk to you about being baptized. I want to talk about becoming a part of the church and start showing some evidence of obedience to the things that they are now hearing from the Word of God as they are hanging around, as they are attending church, as they are listening to the sermons, as they are mingling with the people of God. If they have a heart for God, a hunger for God, a thirst for righteousness, these things are going to register with them. They'll take the initiative. You don't have to drag it out of them. They'll take the initiative. They'll let you know what God has done in their life. They will take the next step as you instruct people as to what they should do. You don't have to do it. God is doing it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman is saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.